following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Welcome to FBC Radio Live. It is Tuesday. It is frigid down here in Florida. It's 44 degrees right now as we speak. I almost did not survive the night. That's how cold it was. I'm just not used to it, John. And the longer I stay away from the Northeast and anything above Central Florida, it reminds me that I don't like the cold so much. Only in small spurts. I was thinking about it the other day. Like, I would love to go, like, camping in the winter, John. Like, you know, in a tent with, like, a wood stove, that type of thing. I would love that. That would be amazing. Because you know what? I'd be home in, like, a week in warmth. I can't do the 5-6 months of cold, frigid air. I can't handle it. Kind of like Aaron Rodgers and NFC Championship games when it comes to the cold. I just can't handle it. Like, I'm fine wow. until a certain degree, and then it goes downhill from there. So,
well, he handles the cold temperatures. That's why I keep looking at the weather, and Saturday night's going to be about 14 degrees, which is perfect. No precipitation in Green Bay. He's fine in the cold weather. Like I said, he and Brady are probably the two best cold weather quarterbacks ever. Jim Kelly was pretty good in it, and so was Brett Favre, but that's not the issue. It's just the time of the calendar, which he struggled with, which is usually late January, which unfortunately this year the season's been pushed back a week. It's longer than ever because of the, 18 weeks instead of 17 weeks. So there's been so many years where we'd be getting ready for the Super Bowl right now, but now we're just getting ready for the divisional round. It's how much the season has been extended, which is great because everybody loves football.
Well, if I'm, what is today, the 17th? So, if I am not mistaken, and I'm looking this up right now, I believe this is the 7-year anniversary of
Deflategate. Today's the 18th.
What's that?
Yeah, today's the 18th. Yeah, so it's 18th, right around this time.
Yeah. I'm looking. Not that I have any joy in bringing this up, and in fact, I'm actually throwing up a little bit in my mouth just uttering the words, but. Obviously, it's still a point of contention for people. We're about a week away, so I think I jumped the gun a little bit here on this. But either way, we're getting close to it. It's just one of those things where you're just like, why do we have to still keep talking about it 7 years later? But no, look, I mean, the reason why we're still talking about it 7 years later is because Tom Brady's still on the cusp of Super Bowl 7 years later. And that's kind of the big reason why. If he wasn't in the league, no one would care. No one would talk about it. You had knuckleheads in Buffalo, and, hey, give credit where credit's due. They won the game, and Buffalo was certainly the better team. But they were bringing up air tire pressure and stuff like that, and I'm thinking, in his bio, the guy was a meteorologist, John, and he didn't understand the ideal gas law, which is, again, kind of shows how, I mean, you could be the most reasonable, well thought out, intelligent person in the world, but when it comes to sports, you throw all that out the window, and your fandom takes over. We see it all the time here. I mean, we see, like, there's people that I know that are, I mean, just intelligent beyond belief. And then when it comes to sports, it's just all fandom. It's no thought. It's all fandom. And it drives me crazy sometimes because that's why we get into these ridiculous conversations where it's like, everything one person does is the greatest that's ever, happened. No one's ever done it. Like, I saw, we see it all the time. And I know I'm kind of picking on your guy here, John, but you kind of had to expect it. The closer we get to the NFC Championship game, you're going to get it a little bit more and more every day. But like, we had... someone saying that, no one throws the ball like Aaron Rodgers. And I'm pretty sure this was like last week. And I'm pretty sure like 20 minutes later, Josh Allen did the same thing there's like 16 clips of Tom Brady doing the same thing. So this discourse that we have talking about quarterbacks, talking about teams or whatever, it's gotten so over the top. Like, I'm part of it. I'm not going to lie. I get sucked into it just as much as anyone else, but it drives me nuts because we have all these proclamations. I mean, remember a few weeks ago, John, where Kyler Murray was the MVP?
Well, that was about 2.5 months ago. Well, I mean, that was in October when they were 7-0.
That's not too long ago, you know? But
no, but it was midway through the season, and they were the last team that remained undefeated, and he was playing great. And then he didn't. So, well, yeah, I mean, should we not talk about the MVP like 7 weeks into the season? Is it?
No. I'm saying, it's not so much that he didn't win the MVP. It's that he completely fell off the face of the earth. And that's,
yeah, that happened.
You know, and that's why, like, you know, we get, again, go back to September, October, and the talk was, you know, obviously Arizona being undefeated, and rightfully so, you got to get praise for it. But, you know, we've talked about it here on the show. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury has an incredibly consistent history when it comes to coaching. I mean, let's be honest. Like, every single season, going back to his Texas Tech days, great start, terrible finish. And we're talking, like, losing 5 of the last 6, 5 of the last 7. And he's done that every single season that he's been a head coach in this league. And he did it for several seasons in, you know, at Texas Tech. So at what point do you sit there and say, okay, maybe let's not jump to, I know, you know, he's one of your GQ coaches, but let's not jump to conclusions when it comes to the abilities of not only coaches, but quarterbacks too. I mean, that interception by Kyle, I don't care who you are. That is a terrible decision. I mean, as poorly as Mac Jones has played at some time during his rookie season, I thought he had a overall really good year for a rookie. I don't think I've ever seen him make that poor of a decision in the end zone. I mean, that was like top 10 all-time worst quarterback decision. And
that was worthy of Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
that's now an adjective. You know, he got Wentz.
Yeah,
because that's what Carson Wentz does. And Matt Stafford did it a couple months ago against Tennessee on a Sunday night game. He did the same exact things. Guys panic and aren't thinking. I don't know what Kyler Murray was thinking or not thinking in that situation. No, he played terrible the second half of the year. And I think, you know, we can't put him up in the elite quarterback level with the other guys we discussed. And as far as the young guns, certainly I would take Burrow and Allen and Herbert and Mahomes ahead of Kyler Murray. I mean, I like good-sized quarterbacks. I just think because they can stay healthier. Like, Kyler Murray's been hurt 2 of the last 3 years. He's a small guy.
Yeah.
You know, and Russell Wilson's the one guy who's not a big guy that doesn't get hurt. I mean, his injury last year was kind of flukish, right? You know, it was a hand injury, which it's happened to every quarterback. He get the hand caught in the helmet or whatever. But the difference is Russell Wilson's stout, and he's also incredibly quick, and he's smart. And he knows when to get down and get out of bounds and get rid of the ball, though he does take an abnormal amount of sacks. So Kyler Murray is right now, I mean, I think if you're running the Arizona Cardinals, you're like, what the hell's up with our coach and what the hell's up with our quarterback? And you're right. Cliff Kingsbury, this is Texas Tech. He got fired with a losing record. Mm-hmm. He went to become the offensive coordinator at USC, and then the Arizona Cardinals decided to hire him. And, you know, he finally got them to the playoffs this year. But they were in the discussion with the Patriots, the Eagles, and the Steelers as 4 teams that really didn't show up playoff weekend. I mean, no, the 4 teams that beat them essentially had byes. Other than Tristan Wirfs getting hurt, it was a perfect weekend for Tampa because you were able to stay sharp, win a game with no pushback from the Eagles. And the same thing happened with Buffalo, Kansas City, and one other team, the Rams. They all basically had byes over the weekend. That was awful football this weekend, Ian.
Yeah.
4 blowouts. And even the 2 close games were like, ugh, that wasn't all that great. I mean, like, you know, Dallas just pooped their pants, and San Francisco was trying to give them the game in the fourth quarter. And the Raiders and Bengals kicked 8 field goals on Saturday and only 3 touchdowns. That wasn't great football. It was nice to see, you know, Cincinnati finally win a playoff game. There wasn't any great football this weekend. I think this weekend there's going to be. I mean, yeah. I will pretty much guarantee that.
Yeah, and I think what's going to make it even crazier, too, is, like, you know, with some of these easier victories or easier opponents for some, I think we're you know, every there are several teams that looked like the best version of themselves this weekend. You know what I mean? And I think that's going to lay out a lot of fool's gold for people. Like, if I'm a Bucs fan, I'm almost happy that the Rams showed up against the Cardinals, because I don't expect Matt Stafford to have another clean game, like two in a row. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, you get that first playoff win and maybe some of that, you know, angst goes away. And maybe you rest back a little bit. Maybe you make, you know, all it takes is one or two mistakes. And I was, you know, I was a little bit, I'm not shocked because, you know, we've talked about the Cardinals for a while. I did end up picking them yesterday, which I regretted very quickly because I did think there was going to be some mistakes done. I didn't think the Cardinals were going to play as bad as they did yesterday. So that, you know, I can't fault myself for that. But we've talked about the Cardinals and how, you know, we just don't buy into them. And it's not that I buy into the Rams. I just was like, all right, well, you know, Cardinals, they didn't show up, and that should have been expected. But I'm looking at the Rams. I'm like, okay, great game. Everything looks like it should work well for them. I don't know if I necessarily trust them going into Tampa and going on the road to try to win this game. And I think once the pressure amps up a little bit, once you get that, you know, get that first victory out from under you, I think Matt Stafford's going to have a mistake or two this weekend, and I think that's going to bode well for the Buccaneers. So
I give a lot of credit to Sean McVay last night. I know you're not a huge fan of his. I am. I think he's a really good young coach. I mean, consider what he's accomplished already at the age of whatever 36, and you know, he's made that franchise relevant. I thought he had a spectacular night last night. His game calling was perfect. Stafford only threw 17 passes, and McVay's offense, and it's all out of the Mike Shanahan tree, Kyle's dad, is more of a run-based offense. So when the Rams are running the football effectively, that sets up a lot of play action for their quarterback, Matt Stafford in this case. They can run those boots. They can get him out of the pocket where he's pretty darn good. I thought McVay had a great night last night. The challenges were right on point. You know, he had a good night last night. He completely outcoached Cliff Kingsbury, which is not that difficult to do. It's like saying Kyle Shanahan outcoached Mike McCarthy, which is not really all that difficult to do. Mike McCarthy got outcoached by Cliff Kingsbury. So that tells you how bad Mike McCarthy is. A couple weeks ago, that was like the death match of the two biggest boobs that made the playoffs. You know, it actually met in the regular season a few weeks ago. And it was Kingsbury who outcoached McCarthy.
Yeah, well, as much as you're a bigger McVay fan than I am, I'm not as harsh on Mike McCarthy as you and some other Packers and Rodgers fans are, because I get it's part of the agenda. You know, hey, Aaron Rodgers had to overcome Mike McCarthy. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think Mike McCarthy is actually a pretty good coach. I mean, maybe
he used to be. Yeah,
I mean he has his limitations, but I certainly think his reputation has taken far more of a hit than it should be, because first of all, let's not forget the very public divorce between the two, and you know, going back, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, behind the scenes saying, you know, having his displeasure with him made known and all that stuff. You know, I get it. It is what it is. You know, it didn't work. You know, they lasted for a while. He was there for a while. And you know what? They had to move on.
And they were fairly successful. And I mean, they won a Super Bowl, which not everyone can say they did. And they were, I mean, you can make a case together they were the best team in the NFC over about a 10-year period, right? I mean, they only went to one Super Bowl. They only won one, but they were always there, right? So, no, though they had success. It's just what we have to stop doing is measuring everybody up against what Brady and Belichick did, more so Brady. But that's like a whole other level. Like, let's not go there, you know, with these other quarterback coaching combinations, because essentially Rodgers and McCarthy did what Peyton and Breeze did, right? Went to one Super Bowl and won it. Mm-hmm. And actually Breeze and Peyton had more losing seasons than McCarthy and Rodgers. I think they only had three losing seasons together, and in two of those Rodgers was hurt. He used to be one of the best play callers in the league. He was kind of like the junior Andy Reid. Maybe not in size. I mean, they're both big boys, but he was like kind of that guy that you go, wow, this guy really designs a good offense. And then it just kind of went off the rails. I again, coaches have to evolve, right? Because the league changes, and I don't know if he's been able to do that. I like the guy personally. I mean, well, not that I know him.
And I think
he seems like a good guy. I mean, and I think his players play for him. You don't hear players bad-mouthing the guy. I don't think he has a command
except for Aaron Rodgers.
Right now. Well, he has a problem with everyone.
Well,
you know that.
It makes
him so fun.
Well, and that's kind of the big point there, too, is, like, I think that's the biggest knock on McCarthy is that he hasn't evolved as much as he probably should have in more recent seasons. And that can certainly set you back. But, you know, that's used, unfortunately, as a, you know, again, not you, but you know how folks use it out there to help Aaron Rodgers' case. Oh, he was saddled with Mike McCarthy for so. No, he wasn't saddled. I mean, he wouldn't be the quarterback he is without Mike McCarthy. Let's not kid ourselves. So,
I think work with him for 3 years.
Yeah,
well, 2 years.
I mean,
for 2 years that was his project. I mean, he that release was not there when he showed up in Green Bay in 2005.
No.
I think he has. I mean, I know this is going to flip you out, and you should get along great with Peyton Manning because he hates hearing about arm talent.
Yeah.
He was on the Manning cast last night talking about what the hell is arm talent? Does it have his own?
I love Peyton, and I agree.
Awesome.
I agree because
well,
it's not that arm talent in and of itself doesn't exist, but it's the way people use it as just an absolutely infallible, he has more arm talent. Well, what is arm talent? Because, like, I can sit here and argue that just accuracy and decision-making is part of arm talent. Like, arm talent to most people is, oh, can you throw from funny angles? It doesn't matter what the result of the play is or how effective it is. It's about angles of throws, and that, to me, isn't arm talent. That's just throwing. I mean, go watch baseball if you want to see arm angles. You know what I'm saying? Like, arm talent to me is obviously being able to adjust when necessary, but being accurate. And part of that arm talent is your arm being attached to the right brain. I mean, you don't have arm talent with a bad brain. I don't care how much quote unquote arm strength you have. If you're not smart enough, I mean, it's not going to matter.
C.J. Cutler, they had great arms. My definition of arm talent is more, you know, I like a quick release, a nice compact quick release, which, you know, Rodgers has. There's no
Tom Brady debating
that.
Tom Brady has the quickest one. So, like, to be exact.
Yeah, I mean, release-wise, they're both impeccable. I like that. But I also, to me, arm talent is you can throw every pass, which both Brady and Rodgers can do, right?
Yeah.
Like, they can zing it in when they have to, but they also can feather balls down the sideline. And how do they throw screen passes? Like, some guys could never master the art of throwing a screen pass. Both of those guys do. How come those two guys have – I never see Brady or Rodgers get balls batted down.
Yeah,
Rodgers is 6'6". They don't get balls batted down like everyone else does.
Well, and that's exactly it. So, like, again, arm talent kind of – and this kind of seeps into the general talent argument that we see all the time. Like, people mistaken all the nonsense that happens before the throw – as part of quarterback talent when it's not. It's just an ability, okay? Like, running around is an ability. It's not a required trait as a quarterback. I mean, again, we go through this every few years. I mean, we're just doing it with Kyler Murray. I mean, the athletic running quarterback, the next wave of new things. Well, again, it's the same story every single year. In this situation, they use the running around, but to your point, and I'm glad you said it, They can both make all the throws. So if Aaron Rodgers runs out to his right and throws a pass to the right sidelines where no other person could get it but his own receiver, that's a great throw. Brady can do that from the pocket. So to me, there's no difference in that. But people equate the running around as having it be a better throw when it's just – I'm not saying it's not necessary – but it's not. It's no different than him throwing from the pocket. And unfortunately, people will use that as basically their reasoning. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is so much more talented and gifted than Brady. I'm like, well, no. I mean, how so? And they're like, Aaron Rodgers makes throws that no one else does. Well, no, that's literally just not true. I mean, you're speaking in hyperbole now. And that's what it devolves to. But the reality of it, John, is they both make all these throws. Tom Brady
can make all the throws.
Yeah, that the big famous Aaron Rodgers throw on the sidelines to the tight end there. I'm blanking on his name right now. You know, unbelievable throw.
Oh,
great
yeah.
throw. It's one of the three
he's been on every team in the league. Cook, right?
Yeah, exactly. Jared Cook. Every highlight video of Aaron Rodgers features that throw. Well, it's great. Tom Brady's made that throw before, and people would be like, what are you talking about? He's not going to throw pirouette on one leg and twist and contort his body. I'm like, why would he? Like, you're criticizing Tom Brady for doing something that he would consider poor mechanic and poor quarterback play. So why would he do that? And I'm not saying it's necessarily poor for Rodgers, but the thing
is... No, they just rolled him out. They rolled him out because that makes the most sense in that situation, because you want to get a free look down the field. Because that to me was like, I'm ready for overtime. And then he makes that throw, and I'm like, holy crap, that's incredible.
And then I'm glad you said it. It's like you look at overtime, you look at, okay, you don't expect anything. Rodgers makes throws like that. You go to 2015, the AFC Championship game, fourth and whatever. Tom Brady, I mean, this was the year that they were just absolutely demolished on the offensive line. They just were outmatched by Denver. They lost that late season game, had to go to Denver, all that stuff. Fourth and whatever, less than a minute to go, down by eight. You hit the pinpoint pass to Rob Gronkowski right up the middle.
Oh, yeah, that was gorgeous.
And those are the things that these two that do. And look, I mean, there's no knock on Rodgers because, again, to compare him, his career to Brady is a disservice to Rodgers because it makes his look worse.
I'm as handsome as George Clooney, but, you could be a handsome guy like I am, very handsome, but I'm not George Clooney, right? So it's the same. Yeah, no,
I'm saying that to say this. So when I say that one player has done it more than the other, it's not a knock on Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's impossible to compare the two. So, but that's the point. They both make all these throws. So I don't want to hear that Aaron Rodgers does this. I don't want to hear, like, they both make these great throws. They both have incredible arm talent, whatever that is. But I'm with Peyton.
There's throws that there was a throw this weekend we saw that Brady made that I'm like, oh my God. Like, I think I could have caught that. Now, I don't know if I could get open, but I could have caught it because the thing was just like, Joe Montana was great at that as well. Elway had a cannon for an arm. So there were times you're like, ooh, I mean, that might be tough to catch because he's got so much fire on it. Brett Favre used to do that. Whereas I think it's almost like a pitcher, right? Like,
yeah.
Brady and Rodgers are guys that, kind of like Pedro Martinez.
They have a fastball, they have a two-seam, they have a changeup,
yeah.
Maybe a slider.
They have a exactly. So they got the whole repertoire. Like Pedro. When Pedro was at his best, he was, he had the widest variety of pitches that ever existed. So, but Nolan Ryan could be effective just, throwing a fastball and a curveball. Mm-hmm. So, it's not fair. It's not even fair right now. I don't know. Especially if he wins another Super Bowl this year, to compare any quarterback to him.
I mean, it's already not fair now. It's kind of distanced.
I mean, I know we could – I mean, Clark Judge and the older guys are going to still bring up Unitas and all those guys. And they're phenomenal. Believe me, they could have played today. But, I mean, when you start winning eight championships, and if that's what happens, and
we've been going through this cycle every year for the past, 4 or 5 years. It's like we get to the point – where, all season, it's like, okay, Brady this, Brady that, and then, he gets to the Super Bowl, he wins again, and we sit there and we're like, okay, at this point, no one can say anything. And then there's about a month where, that's pretty much what it is. It's all roses. And then we start creeping into the, the off-season just discourse that just happens, and it gets to the point where, we get to the end of the season, beginning of the playoffs, where people are saying, oh, well, if Aaron Rodgers, I know we aren't saying that, but, less reasonable people. Well, if Aaron Rodgers wins this, he's right up there with Tom. I'm like, wait a minute.
No.
The Shannon Sharp cycle. He went from saying, a year ago that I'll never say that Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady. And then here he is, completely ignoring what it's just the same cycle. We go through it every single year.
If you're with Skip Bayless every day, you got to do something to amuse yourself not just sit there and just say, you're right, Skip. But yeah, no, I'm starting to think that, Bill Belichick held Tom Brady back. Lord knows how many Super Bowls he would have won if he had had a better coach.
We everything's been pretty pretty hunky dory here. Everything's been pretty good until that.
Heard that since my dad passed away 25 years ago. That's a great state. I love that hunky dory.
Yeah,
let's do t-shirts on that. Yeah. I'm just saying, that without Tom Brady, Bill Belichick 71-79 in the regular season, Rex Ryan 61-66 in the regular season, and went further in the playoffs twice than Belichick did without Tom Brady.
Look,
just saying, and we think Rex Ryan's a buffoon, although I like him on TV. I think he's really good on TV, but just saying, I think Belichick held Brady back.
I've always and not in the Belichick versus Brady debate. I think it's kind of silly because we're just going to keep going back and forth with it until it's over. But
Brady would not be Brady without Belichick.
No,
right?
I think the way
he carries himself down there is, I mean, he's taking a lot of Belichick down to Tampa Bay, whether he wants to say it or not. I mean, that's obviously, you know, the work ethic, the whole, you know, the smarts, the situation.
Look, I think just inherently, players, especially quarterbacks, are just more valuable than coaches. And it's not a knock on any coach in particular. It's not a statement on a specific coach-quarterback combination. I just think that, you know, first of all, anyone who's ever listened to me for a half a second knows how much I value the quarterback position, how important I think it is for the success or failure of a particular franchise outside of everything else. I don't care about anything else. The quarterback is the most important. And by virtue of that, just him being on the field, actually executing said game plan, which game plan's important, preparation is important, execution is the most important. Because if you don't execute, it doesn't matter, you know, what your plan is, you know, or you know, whatever. It's just you don't execute. So I always think that the quarterback, you know, if there's any, you know, we look through history, every great coach has had a great quarterback. Every,
except
you know,
Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my guy. That's the guy I think it's always left out of these conversations. I'm like, I won three Super Bowls different quarterbacks that would have to pay their way into the Hall of Fame.
Well, you think about a guy like Marty Schottenheimer, too, who didn't have the success that Joe Gibbs had, but also was very successful in his own right, despite, you know, not having the greatest crew of quarterbacks. So, I think coaches' success depends far more on quarterbacks than I think quarterback success does. However, obviously, it is important certainly at the right stages of your career to have the right people in place. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's ultimately like Tom Brady was Tom Brady before he got to the Patriots. Bill Belichick just made him a better version of himself because like
they were perfect together. They were perfect together.
And
it was
like,
a perfect marriage.
You know, people
for a
sit
long
there
time.
And say, oh, no one knew about Tom. Well, no, I mean, people who watch college football knew about Tom Brady. You go back and look at his very last game. It is a mirror image of that divisional comeback, double comeback against the Ravens a few years ago that led to the Super Bowl, down 14 points twice. And who else but Tom Brady just walks in there and just delivers. And so I don't even know how we got started on this. You know,
talking about our two favorite players,
we like to do that.
Never a bad thing.
Well, that's why I'm saying, you know, ultimately, I mean, these are the guys that I'm going to bet my money on. That's why I think, you know, okay, if I'm a Bucks fan, I'm happy that the Rams went out and had a great game on offense, or at least a pretty good one. Because at the end of the day, you know, 17 times, it is what it is. You throw, it's not too hugely impactful, but that makes me feel like they're due. They're due for some sloppiness, and I think the Bucks are a team that can certainly take advantage of that.
It's a tough matchup for Tampa, though, Ian.
Absolutely.
The Rams
have
beaten them the last two times. They have their defense, you know, Von Miller, Tom Brady knows how great he is. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey.
If I'm not mistaken, both on the road, though, or both at home, correct? I believe.
No, last year was at Tampa. This year was at the Rams.
Okay.
So that's the thing. And the weather's not going to be a factor. Look, if it comes down to, like, what – it's going to be close. Who are you taking, Tom Brady or Matt Stafford? And no disrespect to Stafford. It's just like, who are you taking, Tom Brady or use any quarterback? Yeah. You're going to go with that guy, right? Even me, who fears playing Tampa in the NFC Championship game. Of course, Green Bay has to get by San Francisco. And at first, I was really worried about that matchup, but I think they're going to be just fine, Green Bay. I mean, it's going to be cold. Garoppolo now has a sprained shoulder. Bosa and Warner, even if they play, how effective they're going to be. I mean, if Green Bay can't beat San Francisco Saturday night, in 12-degree temperatures at Lambeau Field, then you know what? That's on them, on the bad matchup or, you know, Aaron Rodgers' sign wasn't quite right. And, you know, I don't want to hear it. But I think the Tampa Rams almost feels like a Tampa Rams, Kansas City, Buffalo, those matchups feel like championship game matchups, right? Like, you know, whereas I think Tennessee got a little bit of a break. I mean, we love the Cincinnati story, but they're not quite ready yet to crash the party, but although Burrow's becoming a guy you don't want to bet against. And I think Green Bay's fortunate in San Francisco kind of had a, you know, worked their way into the playoffs, had that crazy game in Dallas, and they got a shorter week and all of that stuff. So that's what happens when you're the number one seed, though. And you give credit to Tennessee and Green Bay. They were the number one seed, so they get a little bit of a break. Those other two games, man, those feel like, you know, conference championship games.
Yeah, I mean, we're hopefully going to get some pretty good football between those two, and certainly I anticipate that. I do think, you know, when you look at what the Rams can do, obviously, with Von Miller and Aaron Donald and stuff like that, and, you know, you factor in the questionableness of Tristan Wirfs' health, who is in a walking boot, yeah, although he hasn't been necessarily ruled out or anything like that, and we've seen these big fellas play through quite a bit, so it wouldn't necessarily shock me to see him out there playing through whatever. I mean, he's that type of player, so that certainly could help. But, you know, the best way to combat those guys is a guy like Brady. You know, you get rid of the ball quickly. They seem to be having a little bit more comfortableness with some of these other guys that are, you know, starting to get bigger roles in this offense with the injuries. They could be getting Leonard Fournette back, which will give a nice boost to their running and passing game. Not just, I mean, more so the passing game because of how good he's been, although Gio Bernard had a really nice game in his return this past weekend. So that's going to be interesting. You shift over to the AFC and you have, you know, Buffalo, who we talked about it yesterday. They already beat Kansas City this season. Now, that really matters nothing when it comes to this game, but you can, you know, kind of look at it and say, all right, well, you know, we know Buffalo is certainly capable of it. We believe that Kansas City is certainly not, you know, invincible. They may look it at times, but, you know, they have had their struggles, and Buffalo is playing some really good football right now. So it could be, you know, maybe a potential for an upset that maybe, you know, Buffalo ends up with the home AFC championship game, or, you know, you would need Titans to lose as well, but, you know, maybe they get an opportunity for that to knock off the number two seed Chiefs. So definitely the two games I'm certainly looking forward to the most. The best part about the weekend is hopefully by the time Sunday rolls around, the Packers and Rodgers will already be on the golf course. And I will be able
no
to
comment.
Enjoy,
no comment.
Stress-free. Well, that
don't you like fighting with the Packers?
No, I don't, because it's such an unfair fight. It really is, and it's not look. I believe that
they would not wake up in the morning going, it was freezing today. It's 43 degrees. That's like a heat wave in Green Bay at this time of year.
This is when we fight about quarterbacks, you know, Brady fans and Rodgers fans. This is akin to, you know, the big brother holding the little brother back on the forehead. Okay. And the little brother just swinging their arms wildly, but just never being able to reach it. That's what it is. That's what it is to me, and that's how I look at it, and that's why I enjoy it so much, because it's so easy. It's so easy to win these arguments, and I don't even call them arguments, because that implies that there's actual validity on the other end of it, and there's actually not. It's just more of a one-sided conversation, I guess. I don't know what to call it. We might have to come up with a whole new word for it, a whole new phrase, a whole new way of describing just how this plays out. But, I think Green Bay is going to win. I honestly, like, any one of these teams can win this weekend. That's what's going to hopefully make this a pretty good divisional round weekend. Like, are you going to sit here and tell me that you'd be surprised if the Rams beat the Bucs? No. I mean, like you said, I mean, they've beaten them the last two times. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Bucs are a better team now than when they faced, you know, you go back to, what was it, week three. Rob Gronkowski gets injured in that game. No Antonio Brown. I mean, surprise, surprise, he's not there again this year, you know, this time. But, you know, a little bit different situation where it's like you do have Rob Gronkowski. You do have some of these other players that you maybe just didn't have. And look, I mean, we go back to that week three game. We thought, well, maybe they were looking, or maybe Tom was looking towards the Patriots.
Oh, I felt that way. Yeah, I felt that way all along. And I think the Patriots, too, that was probably their worst regular season. Well, I don't know about that, but the New Orleans game they lost, I think both teams were just couldn't wait to get Tampa Patriots Week 4 game out of the way.
Well, and they both
looked
back,
at the week before.
You go back to that Rams game, too, and Tom actually had a really good – he threw for over 400 yards. He had, I believe, a rushing and a passing touchdown. The problem was, and I don't remember the specific penalties, but this one in particular was the game where they got multiple offensive line penalties on a drive that, that crushed them.
Yep.
They were penalized seven times for only, I think, 59 yards. But the impact of those penalties were huge. Like, we weren't just talking like a false start on your own 25 on your first play at the drive type of thing. We're talking getting yourself out of field goal range, those type of crucial penalties, like taking away big plays type of stuff. And
yeah,
so,
cost you points. You kick a field goal instead of a touchdown, or don't score any points when it looks like you're going in for a score. Yeah, penalties, look, they're not all equal. But of course, if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you commit 14 of them in a playoff game, you know that's just going to be a disaster. 14 penalties.
That's absurd.
Pre-snap. Six pre-snap penalties. I mean, Randy Gregory started the game offside. The very first play of the game, he's offside. And then later in the game, Dallas comes up with a big stop. And for some unknown reason, he tackled an offensive lineman. Like, unless you think the offensive lineman has the ball, don't tackle him.
No, I'm right there with you. I think pre-snap penalties, stuff like that to me is that's the biggest knock on Mike McCarthy. And maybe it's not specifically to him, but when he's in control and he's the head honcho, it does fall on him. But you know, you have to be prepared, and you can't. That's why at times, like, you know, especially early on in the season, certainly early on last year, I got on Bruce Arians a lot because I thought this team, and it still shows sometimes, that I thought this team was a little too undisciplined. Like, as crazy as it sounds, like as bad as it started last year, they only ended up middle of the pack when it came to penalties. But, you know, the first few weeks of the season, you go back to that Bears game where it was like 8 or 9 penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just sitting here thinking, like, there's no way. I mean, it'd be impossible for Tom Brady to overcome this, but you know, they ended up finishing, like I said, like middle of the pack. I think they had the same number of penalties as Kansas City. And it's kind of the same thing this year, although it wasn't as bad early on as it was early on last year. So, but it still seeps in. So there's always that, like when you watch the Patriots, you never expect them ever to commit any sort of bad penalty. I mean, obviously you commit bad, you know, within the course of play, but like I'm talking pre-snap, I'm talking personal foul, I'm talking, you know, taunting or stuff like that, that has kind of felt, or at least the perception feels like it's been called more often at times. But fortunately,
we're figuring like pre-snap, post-whistle.
Yeah,
the
you know,
worst one, right?
The play's
over.
Exactly.
Let's not, right.
Like
yeah.
If you're going to get called for holding or pass interference, look, it happens. I'm not, you know, some are worse than others, and like you can consider a pass interference a bad play or a good play. It doesn't matter. But that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about the completely within your control plays. Like it is solely on you that you make a decision that costs your team yards. I get on. I know folks down in Tampa love Ryan Jensen, and he's a really good center, and it was good that he came back. But you know, he is guilty of that sometimes. Where sometimes I feel like, dude, just I get it. You're being tough. Just relax, and then boom, yellow flag. We saw it a couple weeks ago.
Is he the second most popular player on the team? I'm not kidding, because he like exudes Florida, doesn't he?
I wouldn't say second most popular, because guys like Mike Evans and you know, exist, but he's right up there, because like, look, I mean, when you have offense, that's the type of offensive lineman you want. Like if you're an opponent, you hate the guy because he's got, you know, he's got that big fire red hair, which, you know, it's kind of obnoxious. You know, if you think about it, just sticking out of his
helmet. I'm assuming he voted for Trump.
I'm not judging his political leanings or anything like that. I'm just saying, like,
look, Brady loves him.
He's a good player, and like, look, sometimes the ferociousness goes a little bit overboard, and I think he needs to reel it in a little bit. But it's really good for what they do, and we saw it from David Andrews here in New England. We've seen it from guys like, good God, Logan Mankins was just an absolute like, I mean, not a chance in the world you want to get into that guy's face. But there's a difference between, you know, being that guy, but then also being that guy and taking stupid penalties. And I think he's done a better job. But those are the things you just don't want to see Tampa do. And I think that's what happened in that first Rams matchup, was that there were just some dumb penalties and just, you know, just kind of, hey, it was weak.
Yeah, and the Rams had a great day.
Yeah, they had a week day.
Stafford had a great day. And, yeah, I think McVay had a great day. They dialed it up. And, look, they never stopped scoring. So, yeah, no, it was just it was the perfect storm for a bad performance. I think I picked the Rams in that game because I just figured Brady in week three, Patriots in week three, were just they couldn't wait to get Patriots
on
Tampa
on that
out
Thursday,
of the way.
Yeah,
they just couldn't wait to get the hell out of there.
But all right, well, I can't wait to get the hell out of here because we're going to have to get the hell out of here. no, actually, I love every second that I'm here, but we do try to keep to some sort of schedule as much as we can. But we won't be on tomorrow, but we will be back Thursday, and this is when we're really going to start breaking down. We're going to start Saturday games and then obviously work into Sunday and really break down what we're going to see here in the divisional round. So in the meantime, have a great Tuesday. Have a great Wednesday. Give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, and we will talk to you on Thursday.